यथौ थावती कला गुरुदाक्षिण याचारयं छंदयं असथुर नृपा O King, those best of persons, Krishna and Balaram, being themselves the original propagators of all varieties of knowledge, could immediately assimilate each and every subject after hearing it explained just once. Thus, with fixed concentration, they learned the 64 arts and skills in as many days and nights. Thereafter, O King, they satisfied their spiritual master by offering him Guru Dakshina. That noise you can make, go away. Vijastayostam mahimanamadubham Sanlakshya rajan atimanasim matim Samantriya patnya samah maharnave mritam balam prabhase varayam prabhu bhavu vaha. O King, the learned Brahman Sandipani carefully considered the two lords' glorious and amazing qualities and their superhuman intelligence. Then, after consulting with his wife, he chose as his remuneration the return of his young son who had died in the ocean at Prabhas. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the child was captured by the conch shell demon while playing at the Mahashiva Kshetra. Tatetyataru Yamaharato Ratam Prabhasama Sadya Duranda Vikramo Pelam Upavrajya Nishudataksanam Sindhura Viditvarhanam Aharatayo. So be it, replied those two great charioteers of limitless might, and they at once mounted their chariot and set off for Prabhas. When they reached that place, they walked up to the shore and sat down. In a moment, the deity of the ocean, recognizing them to be the supreme lords, approached them with offerings of tribute. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Lilithaum Jainathas Moy Sri Gurudev Vanshakal Patarubyas Chakripa Sindhubya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunithanam Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashri Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That noise does not go away? Huh? What is it?
Water pump.
Water pump, huh? Let it be. Doing better service than me. Very back, very much grateful to be back with all of you again. In this beautiful chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find a wonderful story of how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master and Controller of all material and spiritual existence. Finds great pleasure in becoming subordinate to his devotee. Just as we find in the Bhagavad Gita on that battlefield of Kurukshetra, Sri Hari became the charioteer of Arjuna, carrying out his every order like a menial servant. Here we find, as Krishna and Balaram were living within the ashram of his guru, Sandipani Muni, they were performing the simplest, most menial types of service. Sometimes massaging their guru's lotus feet. Sometimes going to the forest to collect wood. Even when God comes before his spiritual teacher, he does not try to be recognized for anything but his desire to serve. In fact, this is the only opulence that is perceived by Krishna. When he sees our desire to serve, he takes us very seriously. Whatever other attributes we have, as it has been explained, they are like so many zeros. And that humble spirit of being the servant of Lord Krishna is the one that gives value to all the zeros that follow. And when Krishna comes to the earth, on one hand, he is showing by his example how all living beings should become the servant of a Vaishnava. And on the other hand, he is showing something much higher, his internal ras of pleasure, of always wanting to please his devotees. Krishna and Balaram appeared very eager and anxious to learn from their teacher. And whatever he would teach them, they would study throughout the day, so that by the next day they could perform that particular art perfectly. What is the need for Krishna to study? In Gita, Krishna exclaims, Vedaishta sarver aham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda vedeva chaham. That Krishna is the source of all knowledge. He is the compiler of all the Vedic literatures. Not only that, he is the knower of the Vedas, and it is by all the Vedas he is to be known. But for the pleasure of his devotee, he studies. To give pleasure to the teacher, he performs all of these acts of devotion. Love is reciprocal. Devotion to Krishna is the only perfection that is worthy of our lives. But Krishna, his unlimited devotion to each and every one of his parts and parcels or devotees is something that can never be understood by even the most exalted scholars. we find here that Sandipani Muni is being approached by Krishna. He is asking, "My dear Gurudev, how can I serve you? What can I do for you?" And he is explaining, not for his own sake, but for Krishna's glorification. It is not that Sandipani Muni wants Krishna to serve him, but just to show the supreme glories of the Lord as an act of service to the Lord. He is accepting service from the Lord. In bhakti, there is always an internal and an external. Externally is accepting service, but internally he is giving service. In the same way, sometimes when a devotee is in a particular position, externally he may appear to be taking service from us and even giving us instructions. But internally, a genuine Vaishnava will never accept service from anyone. Because that is the nature of humility. Humility, you want to give, give, give. You don't want to take anything. Nothing is mine and nothing is for me. Everything is for Krishna, Guru, and the Vaishnavas. Everything. My body, mind, words, and life are simply an offering to Krishna and his devotees. So what is the question of accepting service? Never. Impossible. No devotee will ever accept service from anyone. Internally, that devotee is giving service. He is giving service by the process of accepting on behalf of the previous acharyas. When a senior Vaishnav is taking from us, we should understand that he's not taking, he's giving. What do we have to give him? He's giving us the most valuable treasure in all of creation, devotional service. That is the supreme wealth, devotional service. You cannot put a cost or a price on such a gift. Hundreds and billions and trillions of rupees are not worth even one moment in which we are graced with the opportunity to serve the Lord and his devotees. So when we are engaging in Krishna conscious life, we should be conscious of this reality. That what are we giving? We're giving some of our intelligence, we're giving some of our words, we're giving some of our physical energy, perhaps we're giving some of our wealth. Spiritually, these things are worth nothing without connection to Krishna. But he who is giving us the right to serve is giving us something that gives us entrance into the realm of eternity. We are giving some temporary, useless manifestation of material energy, and in return we are given entrance into an eternal life with Krishna. So therefore, the spiritual master and the great Vaishnavas, what they are giving us is infinite and unlimited. They are giving us service. The most treasured commodity that we should aspire for, we should be eager for in every aspect of our life. It is the gift of love. It is through this consciousness of being the servant of the servant of the servant that every other aspect of our spiritual life has substance. Without that consciousness, everything else we do has no substance at all. It is all imitation. It is all cheap. Chanting the holy name of the Lord, the highest, purest, and most essential item in spiritual practice, even that has practically no value unless we chant with the proper attitude of being a servant of the servant of a servant. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is actually given the proper method of advancing in Krishna consciousness in this age, between Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they had created a revolution in Vaishnavism. 99% of Vaishnavism was corrupt and polluted by cheap imitation pretenders and cheap imitation methods and cheap imitation performances. Bhaktivinoda and Bhaktisiddhanta kicked these things out. They did not want the innocent people to be misled. They wanted to give the real substance of truth of what Krishna consciousness is, according to the teachings of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he emphasized this one principle emphatically. In fact, he told his devotees they shouldn't read so much books. Spend most of your time being the servant of the servant of the servant. Krishna will reveal everything through you if you do that. The tendency of pride ruins everything. What is the path of bhakti? Rupa Goswami explains that the path of bhakti, atasri, the path of bhakti is that by which karma and jnana are kicked out completely. What is karma? Karma means by engaging in altruistic, philanthropic, charitable activities, we are hoping to get some higher platform of pleasure in this material existence. We are hoping to get good karma, pious credits, good health, good family, good wealth, reputation as being very pious and charitable and saintly, and perhaps even elevation to the heavenly planets. In Jnana Yoga, through cultivation of knowledge and renunciation. We want to renounce everything of this world to attain liberation. In the mystic yogic process, we want to achieve great mystic powers. Recently, we were with one yogi like this, who was performing so many incredible miracles, just going like this and creating anything, for real. And then afterward, he said, "You know something? These are all cheap, mundane tricks. They're worth nothing. But if by doing it, you listen to what I say, then it's worth something." If he was teaching pure bhakti, that would have been wonderful. But he was a nice man anyway. It is described in the Shastra what the real purpose of bhakti is. There are 7 lower and 7 higher planetary systems: Bhur, Bhuar, Swarga, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, Satyaloka. Beyond these 7 upper planetary systems, the karma yogis, they want to attain Swargaloka. That is their highest destination. Bhuloka is where we are living now, this planetary system. Bhuvarloka is just a planetary system of many heavenly planets above that. Swargaloka, where such incredible, abundant opulence is given to us. The most pleasurable, imaginable life is given to such souls in the Swargaloka planetary system. And those who are performing tapasya through the yoga system, they can attain Maharloka, Janaloka, and Tapaloka. The residents of these planets have all the 8 mystic cities. Great, great yogis and sages. And the highest of all the planets in this material existence is Satyaloka. And the highest planet within Satyaloka is Brahmaloka. The residence of Lord Brahma. Above that is that neutral, it's hard to say a place because it is not three-dimensional as we know it. But for the purpose of trying to describe, we have to use these words. But above the Brahmaloka is the Viraja, which is like a river of neutrality. It is like the border between the material and spiritual energies. And those who perfect the system of yoga by which they can attain liberation, they can cross the Viraja, Tathashta Shakti, and enter into Brahmaloka, or the Brahma Jyoti. The Brahma Jyoti is the lowest part of the spiritual sky. Those who endeavor to merge into the impersonal existence enter into that lowest quarter of spiritual existence called Brahman. Above that Brahmaloka, Brahman, is the Paravyoma, the upper section of the spiritual sky. And in that Paravyoma are innumerable Vaikuntha planets. First there is Shivaloka. the spiritual residence of Sadashiva, an expansion of Lord Narayan. Above Shiva Loka is the Vaikuntha Lokas, where the various manifestations of Narayan are residing. Above these Vaikuntha Lokas of Narayan is Ayodhya, where the Supreme Lord eternally resides as Sri Ram, performing his divine Leela. And above that is Goloka, the uppermost supreme planet of the spiritual sky. And within Goloka, there is Dwarka. And above Dwarka, there is Mathura. And above Mathura is the sweetest abode of love, Sri Braj Bhumi, Vrindavan Dham. Through karma yoga, we can attain up to swarga, through swarga lok. Through performing tapasya and renunciation, we can attain jana loka, tapa loka, mahar loka. Through pure, unadulterated jnana, aham brahmasmi, we can attain Brahman realization. But a devotee kicks out all these realizations and kicks out all these processes. He doesn't want anything for his own sense gratification, nor does he have the right to renounce everything. Everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Therefore, such a devotee engages all energies simply in being the servant of the servant of the servant. The negative attracts the positive. Krishna is the supreme, most positive realization. You have seen magnet. Positive repulses positive, does it not? You are all more educated than me, but if you take two positive sides of a magnet, it will push it away. Negative attracts positive. Krishna is the supreme object of all glorification. To the degree we become humble, to the degree we enter into the negative domain that I am nothing, to that degree we attract Krishna. To the degree we think we're something, we push Krishna away. Yeyathamam prabhajyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham. Krishna says that I reward you according to how you approach me. If you say, Krishna, I am the lowest of the low, I am nothing, please let me serve you. To the degree we humble ourselves and think ourselves low, the high descends into our heart. This is the difference between the ascending process and the descending process. The ascending process is, I will become learned, I will become renounced, I will become very good sadhana, I will become very great, and I will reach Krishna. But the farther you try to reach Krishna, the more Krishna goes away. You cannot ascend to the Supreme Godhead. You can ascend to Swargaloka, you can ascend all the way to the Brahma Jyoti, but you cannot ascend to the personality of Godhead. But by taking the position of servant without expecting anything in return except service, we attract the Supreme Lord to descend, to grant us the supreme realization of the sweetness of His eternal love. The ultimate treasure of the heart. And to such a person who becomes such a humble servitor of the Lord reciprocates by becoming the humble servant of that devotee. And here we find the Lord, Krishna, Balaram, they travel all the way to Prabhaskshetra. You remember earlier this year we all went to Prabhaskshetra. Krishna and Balaram, he also, it must have been the same route, something like that. From Dwarka, he went to the ashram of Sandipani Muni, then he went to Prabhaskshetra. But he went there for service. This is the inconceivable mystery in the path of bhakti. How through humility and devotion, there is always this competition of unconditional love between the Lord and His devotee. And the Vaishnavas, the true Vaishnavas, they do not want anything but that service. Ashlisya va padaratham panashtumam darshanam maramahatam karotuva yatha tatha thavidatha tulambato matraranathastu saevanaparam. Whatever Krishna wants to do with us, let Him do. If He wants to torture us, if He wants to kill us, if He wants to take everything away from us, if He wants to give whatever, we are simply grateful to be His servant. Nothing else. We must free our consciousness of the anartas, the unwanted desires for anything but service. The enchanting consciousness of a humble devotee is so beautiful and so pleasing. A selfless devotee. One who dies to live. One who lets all of his egoistic conceptions die. To serve. And then when we come together to chant the holy names, through the humility of all of our hearts, when we chant the name of God, we will be calling the Lord to descend into our lives and into this world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Thank you very much, Devo. Arrivo. Is there any questions? Some things we never want to change.
In course of our spiritual life, Although we strive to some extent, to our best of our ability, to become humble, to do to the best of our level, to serve the spiritual master, and to be to our best of our level, to become a servant of the servant of the servant. But it has been observed that all of our bad qualities of lust, greed, pride, envy doesn't go away. So if we don't keep that thing in our mind, we just have one conviction that I just have to be a servant of the servant of the servant. I just have to serve my spiritual master. Although all this bad quality doesn't go from my heart for my whole of my lifetime also, one thing is certain, that I'll go back to Godhead, or it is not certain that I'll not go back to Godhead.
Don't worry about going back to Godhead. Do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. When we come before the deities of Radha Gopinath, we should not come to see them. We should come to be seen by them. We should not think, oh, I am enjoying seeing the deities. We should actually, a higher level of consciousness is, my Lord, I am presenting myself to you. I am here for your pleasure. I am here to be purified by your beautiful loving glance.
By following the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness, we should know that to the degree we become purified, our service is pleasing to the Lord. Ado shadatata sadhu sangota bhajana kriya tato nartana vittisha tato nishtaru chistata. Bhajana kriya means by following the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness very carefully, by serving the higher Vaishnavas with great care and attention, by serving their words, by being their humble servants, we become purified. But why do we want to become purified? Not to go back to Godhead. We want to become purified so that our service is more pleasing to the Lord. To the degree we become pure, to that degree love can awaken in our hearts. Whether it takes us one birth or millions of births, that is not so much our concern. Our concern is, my Lord, how can I serve you and how can I please you? And how can I strive to purify myself so that I may serve you with love? These anarthas, or unwanted qualities within our heart, they do not go away. Krishna is Hari. When he is pleased by our humility and devotion, in our earnestness to chant the holy name and serve the Vaishnavas, then he takes these things away. But sometimes he can put them back too. He can take them, he can put them. He is the Lord, he is the controller. We are helpless. All we can do is try to please him and serve him by pleasing and serving his devotees. And we have to completely depend helplessly on his mercy beyond that. Whether they go away or do not go away is in his hands. But it is our duty to attract his mercy by very carefully executing the principles of bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness.
then we put ourselves under the influence of the internal energy of the Lord. When we are adhering to the order of Guru and Vaishnavas. And when we're in the realm of the internal energy of the Lord, then whatever Krishna wants to do, let him do. We are his servant unconditionally. That is our aspiration. No man can free himself from material bondage. It is Krishna. We simply have to put ourselves in his care and in the care of his representatives. Then we are on the path of perfection, and we need not worry about anything else. But if we think we are learned, and we think we are advanced, and we think we are very special, important devotees, then we will be in big trouble. Because we are none of those things. We are only what Krishna gives us. And the negative attracts the positive. The less you think of yourself, the more Krishna gives you. The more you think of yourself, the less Krishna gives you. So just be the servant. Chant the holy name, serve the Vaishnavas, that's all. Don't worry about your material desires. Don't serve them, serve Krishna. If you serve your material desires, they will get bigger and stronger. If you serve Krishna, he is Hari. He will take them away. He will simply take them away. When it's the right time for you. Any other questions? So, Hari Bol. Thank you for coming such a long way to give me your mercy.